Retrieving a battered copy of Vanity Fair from one towering bookcase, she made for the burgundy leather armchair in the window where the light was good. A thud behind her sent a shockwave to her heart, and she whirled to find its source. "Brion!" She crouched to scratch the cat's ears, palm to chest. "Did you fall off the top shelf again? You don't fit, silly." He purred into her hand. The only sound inside Adam's antique books besides an authoritative ticking from the grandfather clock in one dim corner. Except there was another noise. An undeniably masculine timbre, floating into earshot as if borne by the dust motes. The girl frowned, straining to make out the words, but they were muffled by haphazard battalions of books lining the shelves, dog-eared casualties of war in the battle for territory in the cramped shop.
"Maggie?"
The clock stopped. Rion fell silent, and for the second time in minutes, the girl's chest quivered. The perennial dust bloomed like billions of tiny iridescent fireworks. Then, Maggie Adams' wizened form emerged from behind a bookcase. Blue eyes, lately scudded with cataract clouds, now sparkling like far-off stars. For a split second, the girl fancied there was another figure lurking in the shadows behind Maggie. A taller, broader figure. But then her eyes adjusted to the dimness, and the apparition was gone.
"Who are you talking to? I thought I saw..."
The teen stooped to kiss the old woman's crepe paper cheek. She chased imaginary wraiths around the walls, nostrils flaring in the musky, vanilla-soaked air.
"Talking to?"
Maggie removed a duster from her apron pocket and began wiping one caked shelf.
"'Tain't no one here but me and the people in the books, my lovely. You knows that."
2017. "You're imagining things again, Em. Listen to my words. My voice. Trust me." 2018. Left arm aloft, as if hailing a Saturday night taxi, Emmy stood on tiptoes to deposit the thick volume on top of the tallest shelf. With her right hand, she shielded her eyes, nose wrinkling in anticipation of the inevitable dust cloud. Digging in her pocket for a tissue, her fingers instead closed around the letter. The last letter she'd received from Maggie Adams. It shouldn't have been a shock. She'd been carrying the tear-stained note around for weeks, after all. But her heart still plummeted to her stomach, as if she'd missed a step going downstairs or blundered blindly into an empty lift shaft. The unwelcome voice sounded inside her head, words jumbled but cloaked with the scorn of a crow cawing. She squeezed her eyelids shut. Instant tautness in her chest, robbing her of breath, like a too tight corset. Maybe this is what drowning feels like. Lungs overspilling, salt water tears. She gasped, grasping for a memory. A lifeline before the riptide voice could drag her under. "There," a phrase Maggie used to always whisper. "Let us find solace in the quiet moments. Let us be peaceful in pauses. Find stillness in silence. Wisdom is caring yet remaining immovable with our words. Still. Be still." When she finally eased the sheet of notepaper from the small, crumpled envelope, Emmy's hand did not shake. "My darling Emmeline, I know things must seem insurmountable right now. I have faith in you. You are much stronger than you give yourself credit for, and you will get through this. I only wish I could visit, but my health isn't what it used to be. Alas, I fear we shall have to forego our trip to the globe this year. I hope you do not mind too much. Brion sends his love. Have you considered coming back here, or adopting a cat? They can be wonderful company. I do worry about you all on your own in London. I wanted to ask you how your writing is coming on. I don't suppose you get much chance at the moment, but maybe it will actually help to write about how you feel about Dan and everything else. Forgive me for interfering. You must do what is best for you."